In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel, it seems like we talk about this gospel more than any other gospel in the gospel. And it's true. It's given in Matthew and Mark and Luke with a few variants to them. Today is one of these simpler ones. But it's still a very important one for us to take into consideration because it touches on a subject that we really don't know much about. We've talked some about this in the past, and that is possession. What exactly is it? Why does it happen? How did it happen back then? And of course, today, we do know that probably in a lot of instances where people might have thought to have been possessed back then, they were actually mentally ill. But then again, we are often too quick to assign this common modern appellation to a condition that was often far, far more serious and far more complex than we normally give credence to. Possession, of course, happened all through the New Testament. Jesus is always dealing with it. And of course, possession itself could simply be today a form of mental illness. We don't know. We have to keep in mind that we are all fallen creatures. We all live in a fallen world where everything is, well, it's out of kilter. There's nothing really that's in check, that's in balance the way that it should be. And so mental illness could very well be a reflection of something deeper. Not always, but perhaps it could be. I know from my own experience in dealing with people that, for instance, are suffering from addiction, that it's very, very difficult to separate the idea of addiction from possession. Because many of these people are completely devoid of any inclination of their own will towards the positive, towards the good. They are so overwhelmed with this condition that they have essentially given up their humanity. And it's been far more than just a few times when I have heard from people who are suffering in this regard that they are then starting to complain of other things that are happening in their own homes, in their own households, with their own families. And I'm not just talking about arguments and being upset or something like that, but genuine demonic influence, things that we would regard as something supernatural, as something different. And so possession today perhaps takes a little bit different of a path than it did back then. But even then, the root causes of it are the same. That somehow we have let our persons take the wrong path into something that is quite less than what our personhood in the image of God demands. We don't know the story of these two demoniacs that Jesus, when he went into the land of the Gergesenes, encountered. The Gospels are not specific about that. It's almost as if their possession was taken as a given. All that the townspeople knew is that they were causing trouble. No one dared go near them. They lived among the graves. Everyone was afraid of them. They were violent. They were causing trouble. Things like this. This isn't much different from stories I've heard and seen among addicts. Not at all. So it's the same sort of idea that this was something that gradually happened to these people. We don't know exactly how. We don't know how they turned themselves over to an evil force in their lives. We can't be sure of what that is. We only know of what the end result turned out to be, and that was something hideous and horrifying and very much representative of the things that we find in our own world today. These demoniacs were living in a culture of death. If you're living in a graveyard, what else can you call it? It was definitely a culture of death. Ours today is a culture of death. We see it not only displayed, we see it glorified in many instances in ways that would have been shocking even 100 years ago. You see kids walking around with t-shirts with skeleton heads on the front of them. You see all sorts of references to death, the ideals of a generation that has lost its way and doesn't know what it's dealing with. And unfortunately, it's not only the younger generation today, but it's the older as well that are falling into these traps of the devil that somehow call evil good and good evil. And that's something we have to be very careful to watch out for, that we have to be careful not to slip into, to not give it any credence at all, to not let any instance of what may seem evil or wrong or even just slightly off, to not give it any kind of authority or magnitude in our lives. Because if you do that, it will gain a foothold, and it may never come to the point of possession, but it may be something that remains with you like a stone in your shoe. It may be something that's just always kind of there. The sins that we confess every time we come to confession, over and over and over again, well, these are because the devil himself has gotten a foothold in our souls with certain sins, and we can't seem to get rid of them. And then, more often than not, he even gives us a liking for them, which is even harder to get rid of. So this is something that is very real, and we have to be very careful about. The idea of the demonic, the idea of possession, of course, we see it in many, many movies. Some of the movies are quite realistic. Some of them are just plain stupid. But all of them are trying to portray this idea of possession and the devil working in people's lives as something sort of attractive and exciting, because more people flock to those kind of movies than any other kind. There's a real cult following behind many of them. People want to see this. They want to be scared. They want to feel that somehow they've come close to touching evil, but yet they've been pulled away because, after all, it was only a movie. But these things are more profound than we often realize. In the case of these demoniacs, they had lost all sense of will. They had lost all sense of personality, all sense of humanity. They were caught in a situation where the difficulties were so profound for them that they had given up. They simply had become tools of the evil one who was there to inspire them. And our Lord went to the land of the Gergesenes specifically for this. And when he told the evil spirits to leave, to go into the herd of pigs, it was as if they were finding a second home, for swine was going to swine. We hear in the service of baptism, in case people are starting to get a little nervous about this, we hear in the service of baptism, one of the prayers is that the evil one has not power even over swine, even over pigs. They couldn't do anything until our Lord commanded them, leave these two men and go into that herd. That is how small their degree of power and influence is. In other words, though these two were possessed, though these two were certainly taken over by spirits that were foul and alien to everything that's human, they still had very little power. It was these two men that had to give them what they had, because the devil cannot take what is not his. And humanity is not his. Humanity, especially to someone who is baptized in the Orthodox faith, is far away from being his. And the only way he's going to get a foothold is if you give your yes to him. It's the only way. He can't come in and just zap you one day and take you over somehow and then you're possessed, and what do you do? No, it doesn't work like that. You have to say yes. You have to be denying God. You have to be running away from God. You have to be working against God for these sorts of things to come upon you, to move into your own humanity and slowly start degrading it. Because true humanity is found only in Jesus Christ. There is no other standard. That's what it is. That's absolutely what it is. He is the perfect man, the God-man. He showed us. He created us. And then he shows us what this standard is. And that's what we have to aim for, and that's what we have to struggle to maintain. So when we think of these Gospels, and they are rather dramatic, you know, the herd of pigs running into the lake. And of course, there's other interesting aspects to this too, because we're not told whether these are disobedient Jews, of course, to whom pork was forbidden. Are these disobedient Jews who are minding this herd of pigs? Or are they Gentiles simply trying to make a living? We don't know. We don't really know. But we do know that the results of the swine running into the pigs caused consternation in all the town. And they begged the Lord to leave, which he did. Because it says he went back into his own land. So my brothers and sisters, it's not that we should be concentrating on the things of possession, on the things of the devil taking us over, these sorts of things. No, not at all. Those thoughts don't ever have to come into our mind unless we come to realize that we are indeed working against God, that we are working against the things that he has given us in this life to do, that we are ignoring him, because we, by our nature, are very fickle people, and our spirits will look for something to fill us up. It can't just be empty all the time. Something has got to be there. And if God isn't there, other things are going to come in and they're going to take over and they're going to slowly, slowly turn that beautiful humanity which God has given us into something that is far more degraded, far more lifeless, and in the end, far more something that is simply not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So don't think about the pigs in the water. That's not the point. The point is that the humanity of these two men that were healed by the Lord is something that should never, ever happen to us as committed, baptized, believing Orthodox Christians. That our humanity is not of those coming from sleeping among the tombs, but of him who cured them by going down into the tombs and preaching the gospel to all who had come before. Amen.